Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. Obviously, I'm going to get into the NBA playoffs. I'm going to be talking about Lane Kiffin, too, because he did an interview with Vanity Fair, the former head coach, head football coach at Ole Miss, who departed unceremoniously from there before the season ended to agree to be the new head coach at LSU. He had some things to say about why he left and what have you. And let's just say it comes as no surprise. It's something I tried to tell y'all about, but folks didn't want to listen. So we'll definitely get into that. We'll have the great Paul Feinbaum coming on to the show, Mouth of the South. Extraordinary college football analyst for ESPN. He'll be on the show to talk about that as well. And, of course, my man JC, the one I call and one, the one and only Jamal Crawford, who played in the NBA for over a decade, used to play for the Knicks as well as the Clippers and various other teams. Absolute showstopper on the offensive side of the ball. Former sixth man of the year, of course. He'll be on the show to sort of handicap the NBA playoffs moving forward. First order of business, however, is to get to the NBA playoffs, and specifically the Los Angeles Lakers. Remember that movie, The Campaign, with Zach Galifianakis and Will Ferrell? And Galifianakis was a candidate running for the seat in North Carolina that Will Ferrell held. And he says, I'm bringing my brooms because it's a mess. That's what Oklahoma City did to the Los Angeles Lakers last night. 115 to 110, Lakers fought. But nevertheless, one of them situations that even though, it was a close game, Los Angeles Lakers lost. Eight times they played the Oklahoma City Thunder this year. Eight times the Lakers have fallen. That's number one. Number two, six of their last seven playoff games, the Lakers had lost. Remember, they were up 3-0 to the Houston Rockets before losing the next two and then winning that game six in Houston. And then they come against OKC, and they lose four straight. So the Los Angeles Lakers are home officially. They're going home yet again in the second round. No shame in it. And obviously there's a lot of conjecture and a lot of speculation about what's going to happen with their future. Luka Doncic is locked in. He's the new preeminent star for the Los Angeles Lakers, even though he wasn't available for the postseason. Austin Reeves is the sidekick and the number two option that's getting paid about $14 million, and he's due a hefty raise. You know, in today's NBA economy, at least $35 million a year he's due. So you got that going on. And then there is the future of LeBron James. The future of LeBron James, who averaged 20 this year, who suffered his fourth postseason series sweep of his career. He was swept in 2023 Western Conference Finals by the Nuggets. He was swept in 2018 NBA Finals by the Golden State Warriors. And he was swept in the 2007 NBA Finals by the San Antonio Spurs. Everybody's talking about the future of LeBron James and they're asking about that and what he's going to do about it, what his mindset is, et cetera, et cetera. Well, LeBron James had his own thoughts about what the future holds. Listen to what Mr. James had to say.
I don't know what the future holds for me, obviously, as it stands right now tonight. I got a lot of time. I'll sit back like I think I said it last year after we lost, I think, to Minnesota there. Go back and recalibrate with my family and talk with them and spend some time with them. And then when the time comes, I obviously, you guys know what I decide to do.
If you don't know what the future holds, I guess that means inherently this could be it. Do you allow yourself to kind of those last handshakes and this last press conference?
Last handshakes? Nah, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, none of us in here know what the future holds. None of us. Nobody has any idea what the future holds, and I don't either. Like I said, I'll take time to recalibrate and look over the season and see what's best for my future. And when I get to that point, everyone will know.
Let me say this to get this out of the way. LeBron James has a lot to be proud of. I think this year was a testament, a final stamp on the level of greatness that he has put on display for over 23 seasons now. I need to be one of the first people to make sure that I say that. LeBron James had never in his career been a third option until this year. Yet he accepted it and was still the leader and the winner that he was. You needed him to play center, he played center. You needed him to play power forward, he played power forward. You needed him to rebound instead of score, he did it. You needed him to assist instead of score, he did it. You needed him to score instead of assisting and rebounding, he did that. You needed him to defend, he did that. You needed him to run the show, he did that. And at 41 years of age, in his 23rd season, he's still in better shape than 95% of the league. Play that sound, Sean.
We fell a little short, obviously, but I mean, I'm not looking at, you know, my year as a disappointment. That's for damn sure. I was put into some positions that I've never played in my career before. Actually, in my life. I've never been a third option in my life. So to be able to, you know, thrive in that role for that period of time and then have to step back into the role that I've been accustomed with over my career, over my life, playing a sport, and be able to thrive under that. And then just my teammates allowing me to, like, lead them under extreme circumstances, that was pretty cool for me.
In his very last game, possibly as a Laker, I don't think for 1 second he's retiring. He had 24 points and 44% shooting and 14 rebounds. 24 and 14 in his 23rd season for the top scorer in the history of basketball. Can't say enough about it. You got to give credit where credit is due. And the conditioning, the commitment to excellence. These are the kind of things that when you talk about a role model, you have to look at him as. You have to say to yourself, you know what? Never cheated the game. Never cheated the game. And I just, you know, you got to say that. You got to say that. And to me, when I look at the Los Angeles Lakers, be careful what you wish for. Because you may want him gone because, you know what? It's Luka's team now. But can you trust Luka? Dallas certainly didn't feel they could, which is why Nico Harrison, although I believe it was a colossal mistake, why he wanted to move on from him because you didn't want to commit over $300 million to a dude who you were not convinced was going to commit himself to the conditioning. We saw Luka averaging damn near 40 until he ran into Oklahoma City near the tail end of the regular season, which is what his hamstring injury came about, and he hasn't been seen since. But the fact is that, you know, Luka can ball and he's an offensive juggernaut, but he's not, you know, is he the guy, rather, that you are sure that you want to place the franchise on his shoulders? Simply because you don't know what kind of condition he's going to be in and you don't know what he's going to do to get himself hurt. That's the reality. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. So we got to ask ourselves that question and deal with the real. But getting back to LeBron James, here's the point. I did an A-list on my day job, First Take on ESPN every weekday morning from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. I did it this morning. And top five options for LeBron James going in to this offseason. He made $52 million this year. Everybody knows the Lakers can't afford to do that for him. They got to re-sign Austin Reeves, or so they think. Me personally, I think they should consider trading Austin Reeves and getting additional assets for him and prioritizing keeping LeBron with Luka. Because we all know, I don't care what anybody says, I think LeBron wants to play two more years. I think LeBron is trying to go a quarter century playing basketball. That's what I think his goal is. That's what I think his aim is. Whether or not he's going to be able to pull that off remains to be seen. But he has kicked it. Listen, he is one of the rarities. So far, he has beaten Father Time. Let's just give him credit where credit is due. So now that we get that out of the way, you got five options, in my opinion. And I'm going to reiterate what I said on television this morning. Option number five, retirement. Because I always want to hear from y'all on what y'all think. 888-MAD-DOG-6 says 888-623-3646. Five options, as far as I'm concerned, that LeBron James has. Option number five, retirement. Nothing else to prove. Four-time champion, four-time league MVP, Mount Rushmore basketball, one of the greatest players to have ever played the game. Retirement. I don't think he will. Not saying he should. Especially since he didn't get his farewell tour. Because he deserves that. I'm not maligning him for it. I'm applauding it. He deserves it. When it comes time to paying homage to people who have done great things for the game, I always stand up and give applause, and I will do the same thing for LeBron James. Yes, I will. Because he deserves it. That's option number five. Retirement, though. You know what option number four is? Staying with the Lakers. Just accepting the fact, look, ain't no way in hell you winning the championship because you ain't going to usurp OKC, San Antonio, Minnesota, and even Houston if they get themselves a point guard. You're not going to usurp that. There's no way. You ain't winning a damn championship. But you live in L.A., Southern California sunshine, nice weather, et cetera, et cetera. You are dealing with all of that. And there's worse things to do than play basketball in a Lakers uniform. That's option number four. You know what option number three is? Golden State Warriors. Can you imagine if LeBron James and Steph Curry teamed up with one another? Could you imagine? Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. LeBron James with the greatest shooter God has ever created, pulling up from 30 with ease. That dude, Steph Curry, with LeBron James. And remember, because LeBron James is a free agent, you don't have to give up Draymond. You don't have to give up Porzingis. You can let Jimmy Butler recover. Steve Kerr is still coaching you for the next 2 years. Could you imagine if LeBron James decided to take his talents to the Bay Area just to join Steph Curry for a year or two? Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. You talk about a ratings bonanza? As much as we love watching Wembanyama and fawning over him, what you think America's eyes are going to pay attention to if LeBron James and Steph Curry are on the same damn team? Lord have mercy. And if you're LeBron, you have any idea how many assists he'll average? He ain't got to go to the basket and feed and gift wrap the basket for the likes of DeAndre Ayton or somebody like that. Oh, no. LeBron James could walk up the court and simply kick it to his left or his right, wherever Steph Curry is, and watch him launch from 30. That'll count as an assist. LeBron might average 20 assists a game. I mean, my goodness. That's option number three. Option number two, go back home. Cleveland. Because with James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, Mobley, Jared Allen, those boys there, if they don't win this year, then we know Cleveland just ain't that team. And the one person that could change their fortunes and give you his swan song, because we all know they're going to hang a statue for LeBron up there when it's all said and done in Cleveland. Born and raised in Akron, Ohio. They're going to hang a statue for that brother there. We all know that. Could you... He go back home. The minute he arrives back in Cleveland, they're the automatic favorites to come out of the East. Automatic. Even approaching age 42 next year. They're automatically the favorites to come out of the East if LeBron James is there. With the rest of the crew that they have. And of course, number one on my team, on my list, is the New York Knicks. Now, I do understand that it's emotional. I know that. But what I'm thinking about when it comes to the New York Knicks is two things. If you don't win the title this year, again, you don't have to give up anybody for LeBron James to join the squad. He can come there as a free agent. By the way, the money ain't going to matter to him because that's James Dolan he'd be playing for. That man going to make him an additional $1 billion. LeBron is not Kyrie Irving and KD. He ain't passing up being associated with the Knick brand to be in Brooklyn, New York. He gonna be with the Knicks. That's the brand. That will easily enable LeBron to pocket an additional $500 million. and the New York Knicks would be the favorites to come out of the East their damn selves. And then you got LeBron with Brunson, with OG, with Carl Anthony Towns. You got them in a position to be four games away from the chip. That's how I feel. That's my list. Retirement, Lakers, Warriors, Cavaliers, or Knicks. That's 5-1. Retirement at 5. Lakers at 4. Warriors at 3. Cavs at 2. Knicks at 1. That's what I think. And I also want to make this declaration over the airwaves. If LeBron James went to the New York Knicks, I would never utter a negative syllable about him again. I'm telling you that right now. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a grown-ass man, so bygones are bygones anyway. But boy, would it be if he became a New York Knick. I'd have nothing to say. Nothing. He wouldn't have a bigger fan in his life than me. He showed up in the New York Knicks uniform. Especially if they don't win the chip this year. They win a chip, that'd be different. But if they didn't still win a chip and we still wait since 1973, he wouldn't have a bigger fan than me. I'll tell you that right now. I ain't apologizing for it to anybody. I'm a native New Yorker, baby. I'm a Knicks fan. I'll be damned if I'm going to apologize. I'll turn around and root for him like it was no tomorrow. Because that's what happens when you've been starving for 53 years. So I'm just letting you know. That's where I'm coming from. I know Doggy's probably listening somewhere. He should be ashamed of himself. Oh, he's pathetic. I don't give a damn. Doggy can say whatever he wants about me. I call him a degenerate gambler all the damn time. He can come up with insulting stuff for me. I can get over it. Please. Those are the options. I'm sure there's more like Denver and other things. No. The five options I just threw out there are the five best options for LeBron James. So says Stephen A. What are y'all thoughts? Triple A Mad Dog 6 says 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM. Mad Dog Sports Radio. Got something else I need to get on my mind on a more serious note before we go to commercial break because it's important. It's important, and to be quite honest with you, it's unavoidable because it involves Lane Kiffin, the now former head coach for Ole Miss, who is now the head coach at LSU. And clearly took the opportunities to express some things that was on his mind and it was on his heart, et cetera, et cetera. Don't y'all worry about me getting to Victor Wembanyama and the fact that the NBA not only didn't suspend him, they didn't even fine him for that vicious elbow he threw at the jaw of Naz Reid. We'll get into all of that as the show progresses right here at Stephen A. Smith Show, Series XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. But I needed to get to Lane Kiffin for this reason. The now head coach of the LSU Tigers, Lane Kiffin, claims lack of diversity made recruiting to Ole Miss more difficult. He said Baton Rouge is an easier sell to recruits than Oxford. Now, according to my notes, despite earning the quote-unquote Portal King moniker at University of Minnesota, Lane Kiffin said it was more difficult recruiting players to Oxford than to some other places in the SEC. In an interview with Vanity Fair, Kiffin explained that some black families were hesitant to send their children to Ole Miss, a school that has long grappled with its ties to the Confederacy while operating in a largely homogenous environment. Now coaching at Louisiana State University, Kiffin told Vanity Fair that recruiting black players to Baton Rouge has been easier because of the city's diversity. According to Kiffin, those conversations differ significantly from the ones he experienced while at Ole Miss. Quote, hey, coach, we really like you, but my grandparents aren't letting me move to Oxford, Mississippi. That doesn't come up when you say Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Parents were sitting here this week and saying the campus's diversity feels so great. It feels like there's no segregation, and we want that for our kid because that's the real world. Kiffin clarified to Vanity Fair after the interview that he wasn't attempting to criticize Oxford, but rather sharing real recruiting experiences from his time there. Quote, he says, I just hope my comment comes across respectful to Ole Miss. There are some things that I'm saying that are factual. They're not shots. And essentially, Kiffin's comments highlight an issue that has followed the Ole Miss football program for decades as the university has tried to distance itself from Old South symbolism. Y'all remember Tommy Tuberville, former Ole Miss coach, 1996. He fought a similar battle over Confederate flags inside Vaught Hemingway Stadium. According to author Jay Busby in the book Iron in the Blood, Tuberville told then-chancellor, the then-chancellor of Ole Miss, quote, "We can't recruit against that flag." Tuberville also reportedly told prominent Ole Miss alum Harold Burson that the flags were, quote, "killing," end quote, the rebels. He says, "With the flags on campus, we're not getting our share of black players that are going to come to our schools." Remember in 2003, Ole Miss removed the Colonel Reb mascot from its official on-field role because it's perceived Confederate ties. In 2010, the school introduced a rebel black bear mascot, which was later replaced by Tony the Land Shark. The issue also extended beyond Oxford. In 2020, state of Mississippi changed its state flag to remove the Confederate battle emblem after pressure intensified following comments from Kylan Hill, who said he would no longer represent the state until changes were made. And you also have to remember, in the SEC, former University of South Carolina coach Steve Spurrier also pushed for Confederate imagery to be removed. Think about that. In 2007, Steve Spurrier called for, quote, "that damn Confederate flag" to come down from the South Carolina Statehouse grounds. The flag was ultimately removed 8 years later in 2015. Ladies and gentlemen, on this very show, you had people calling up. They were put off by what I said. When I said, "let me bring it home for you, where the goats can get it." Okay? I said to y'all, if you're not from Mississippi and you're a brother and somebody comes to you talking about Mississippi, it's going to give you cause to pause. You have former coaches at the program complaining about it. You have former coaches in the SEC complaining about it. When I said something about it, I was challenged by the athletic department and the coach to come down there. And I went down there for the girls' basketball team, coached by McCune, who's wonderful. She's great. I love her, and I will continue to keep in touch with her. She's absolutely wonderful. But let me tell you something. When you look at what it is, it's not about her. It's not about the program. When I went down there, ladies and gentlemen, the school was first class. They treated me great. The players were wonderful, okay? The athletic director, the coaches, the students, I mean, everything was just real, real, real great. It was real fly. They treated me first class. And I promised them I was going to come back there. I went down there with my daughter, Samantha. And I promised them I was going to come back there for the football game once Lane Kiffin returned. But please, please, please understand, ladies and gentlemen, history matters. And when you're black and you hear the words Mississippi or the word Mississippi, I'm going to tell you right now, it gives you cause to pause. Do I think Lane Kiffin should have said this at this particular moment in time or wherever, whenever he taped the interview with Vanity Fair? One could easily say no, but you know anybody that's sitting down with him, one of their first questions is going to be, why'd you leave? What's so different about it? You built a great program. You won 74% of your games. You got a better program than LSU right now. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. That's not how they rolling. And that's the reality. I told y'all what it was. I told y'all Lane Kiffin had to go and take that LSU job. I told you that. And now he confirmed it. Right timing? Probably not. Could he have done without saying that? Sure. But he wasn't lying. I'm quite sure there are some great, great people down there. I've met them. But the environment is the environment. The South is the South. When you think about Jim Crow laws and the subjugation that black folks were subjected to, you think about places like Mississippi. Fair or unfair, that's just reality. And Lane Kiffin speaking about it, doesn't make it false. It's just the truth. And now it's out there. 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. We'll get to your calls, but not before we hear what Paul Feinbaum has to say about this very subject that I'm touching on. Don't go away. You're listening live to Stephen A., Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, in the house.